I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our studio here in Orchard Park, joined on the line by our 1 o'clock on Tuesday date. We're with our guy Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, the co-host of Good Morning Football. Good afternoon, Kyle Brandt. Good to be with you here today.
Good afternoon, Murph and Steve. And I have to start with an apology to all of your listeners. You might not believe that, but I do. Last week, I have to say, since I've been meeting with you guys every week, listeners, very supportive, very encouraging, very friendly. And yet last week I came out and told you that looking at the Bills' schedule, this could be a 10-win team. I thought I was being positive and constructive and paying a compliment. I was attacked after the appearance for an insult of a 10-win team. That a 10-win team is the basement. And in fact, I slighted the entire Bills fan base by saying a 10-win team. And you know what, guys? I think that they're right. I think 10 is the basement. I should have said 12. Do I hear 13? But I will apologize to start the conversation.
Well, let me point this out to you, Kyle. Preseason, before they kicked off, I said they were going to win 10 games. My partner over here, Steve Tasker, says 11-plus. First of all, that is an invalid response when you ask somebody to pick how many wins, right? You can't say 11-plus.
Is a number with a plus sign on it not valid?
No.
Well, would you ever do a minus sign, Steve?
Right, we're going to win 9 or less.
Pick a number.
Yeah.
Well, the 11-plus would be like maybe a playoff game win or maybe even a home playoff game kind of thing, right?
Well, if they go 15-1, technically you're right because 15 is 11-plus, right?
I claim everything above 11.
That's why it's invalid. So here are the Bills coming off the bye, Kyle, with their 4-1 record, feeling pretty good, and especially good about what they see around them in the AFC. So your thoughts about maybe more than 10 wins? It looked like we all might be onto something here with the way this season is playing out, not just in Buffalo, but around the AFC, huh?
Maybe. And it's kind of nice right now because there's a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of debating about who are the great teams in the AFC after New England. And I feel like it's kind of cool that the Bills took a bye now because, at least on our show in the morning, we haven't talked about them in a week. And we're trying to figure out, do the Texans have it to take out the Patriots? Are the Chiefs good? All right, can we trust the Ravens? And there's very little conversation about Buffalo. I found it interesting. I looked this up. Let me ask Steve, Mr. 11-plus. The last time I think that the Bills went 4-1 and then had a bye was the 1990 season. You guys went 4-1 and then went into the bye. Do you remember that at all? And when you have that bye after starting 4-1, do you start to think we rule the world or we got to stay hungry? Like, I'm trying to get into the mindset of this Bills team because they're sitting pretty.
Right. It's so old school. You go back to 1990, and I don't remember that, but I know this. Back then, the question was always, wow, is this a good time for the bye week? Is it too early? Is it too late? And the question is always now, everybody knows the answer. It's always a good time for the bye week because somebody needs to get healthy. Somebody needs a rest. But for the Bills, we've been talking about this all week, Kyle. It's been 11 weeks since the start of the training camp to this point, and now they've got 11 weeks left to close out the season, the regular season, and it seems like it's the perfect time. They've had a little rash of injuries. But I don't remember being 4-1 and you know, getting a bye week that early in my career. 1990 is the first Super Bowl year for the team. But it's interesting the correlation because this is really a schedule that's like, wow, it's hard to picture the Bills being an underdog in any of the games.
Well, you think about it now, it feels like they're still on a bye. They got the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins' plan is very clear. The Dolphins are not in it to win games. It feels that way. And I would say to Bills fans, enjoy the Dolphins now. Because I do think they're going to be good in a couple of years. What you want about tanking. It works. Yeah. You collect a whole bunch of draft picks. It typically works. I think the Dolphins will be good. But, God, they are terrible now. They just lost to that Redskins team. So think about this now. 4-1. I think they'll beat Miami. They're going to the playoffs. Guys, unless some sort of terrible meltdown or a bad rash of injuries, the Bills are going to be in the playoffs. Who's the team they're going to get? Is that playoff team going to be at home? I think what's really interesting and a little scary right now in the AFC specifically, is not just that Deshaun Watson's playing well. It's not that the Texans seem to be good. Deshaun Watson has not been sacked in two straight games. Now, remember, the only problem with him was he gets hit too much, he holds onto the ball. And if you go back a little further, as you guys know, thinking about the Dolphins, the Houston Texans made this trade for the tackle, Laremy Tunsil. And everybody said they were crazy, and Twitter said they were idiots and they paid too much. Well, the offensive line right now is playing lights out, and Deshaun Watson just outplayed Mahomes in his stadium. So if you ask me about the AFC, who's dangerous right now, it is a clean jersey Deshaun Watson who looks really, really good. And that's a team Buffalo could run into at the end of the year.
We're on the line with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network co-host of Good Morning Football. One more Bills issue we want to deal with you here, Kyle, and it's a Twitter poll today. We're 2 weeks away today from the NFL trade deadline. And there are segments, and actually a lot of Bills fans think they should make a move before the deadline. Should the Bills make a trade to improve offensively? On the Twitter poll right now, 800 votes in over the last hour or so. Half of our respondents say yes, add a wide receiver. 27% say yes, add an offensive lineman. 24% say no, stay the course. Steve and I are on the stay the course course, at least for a couple of weeks until we get to the trade deadline. What do you think about that question?
Well, it's always easier to say, we got to do something. We got to get the shiny object. We got to get the cool weapon. The defense looks great, obviously. And look, it doesn't surprise me that your listeners say we need some firepower. There is one name out there that I think is interesting, and it's the running back for the Chargers, Melvin Gordon. Now, I know that Devin Singletary looks good and Frank Gore is venerable, but Melvin Gordon, with his whole experience of holding out and not really having a home with the Chargers, if he were to be available to come in and be this game breaker, this workhorse, I feel like that could really help the Bills offense. Contractually down the road, it gets dicey. I don't know if you can have him for the rest of the year and then get rid of him. But as you were asking me the question, rule out Jalen Ramsey. The Bills don't need him, and I don't think the Jags are trading him. But if some of the sexier names, it'd be pretty cool to get in a fresh new running back to go with that offense. Melvin Gordon, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, that's an interesting take because a lot of people are wrapped up in this wide receiver thing because this is a team last year in the last half of the season in a year that they struggled offensively. The long ball was the only tool in the toolbox they had, and it was a lot of fun to watch, and now that seems to have disappeared. You got Josh Allen going from 53% completion rate last year, over 70% this last week against Tennessee. It's a different offense, and I don't know that there's a need to transform it at all, given the fact that they're trying to play complementary football with a defense that's dominating.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the risk, Steve, is you start transforming it and adding new weapons, and then let's say you do go make a trade for somebody, and you tell Josh Allen, we got to make this work, and he starts forcing it to him. The last thing that Josh Allen needs is start forcing more passes. The defense is so good, you just want to keep doing what you're doing. And typically you might say, well, don't rest on your laurels. Let's get better. The Laurels are pretty good right now. I still think that they're the second best team in the AFC at 4-1. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't do anything rash. Typically, at this point in the Bills season, we're like, oh, man, we got to get a pulse of life here or something. It's really good right now. You know, we're having Coach McDermott is coming on Good Morning Football tomorrow. So maybe I will have to ask him personally. And if any of your listeners have any other questions they want to ask, I'm happy to take them.
Yeah,
what do you think they need to do offensively? What's Josh Allen need to do to play better? I mean, he had a 70% completion percentage last week. Seems to be gaining, threw one interception of a completely different nature than the old time stupid over-the-top throw. This one was a throw we tried to fit in. Seemed to take a real step forward next week. But as we've seen, he may take a step backwards as well this coming week.
You know, I'm looking at the action all around the league this past weekend, and it's just there's the quarterbacks who mess up and the ones who play clean. You know, Jameis Winston threw 5 interceptions in a game. That's Jameis Winston's game. I think if he plays another year or 20 more years, I think that's the kind of quarterback he is. Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, he just doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make the big mistakes. Josh Allen is still figuring that out. I don't know if he's one of these messy quarterbacks. I mean, look what Baker Mayfield's doing right now. He's leading the league in interceptions. It's not even close. This was a guy in college we thought had the total control of accuracy. I think he's got 11 picks this year, and the Browns are falling apart. So that's the thing with Josh Allen. We talk about this every week, guys. I love the leadership. I love the athleticism. He just makes that one head-shaking pick a game, and sometimes it's 2 or 3. So he's at this point where I feel like he's in his adolescence as a quarterback, second year, bunch of starts under his belt. Are you going to be the mess-up guy, or are you going to be able to play clean? And I think he's going to figure that out in the next couple of months. That's really it. I don't mind the weapons. I like what they did. I like Brown. I like Beasley. I like the line. I just wish there could be a couple more clean games, because when you get against New England, we saw it. You make a couple mistakes, the thing's over.
With Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network, let's move you around the league a little bit, Kyle. And you were talking about AFC contenders a moment ago, and I don't think you mentioned Kansas City. They've lost a couple in a row at home, but they're still to be heard from this year, right? You're not writing them off at all, I wouldn't think.
No, they're still going to play a role in this thing. It's just strange. You know, you lose two at home, and listen, it's not talking. It's getting talked about much because Mahomes is not hyping it. Mahomes is not right. His ankle is not right. He doesn't run around very well. Some of his best plays are improvisational. That's not there. But, guys, let's not pretend this is nothing. I said for weeks, once Tyreek Hill gets back, it'll be all better. He changes the whole offense. Tyreek Hill was back, and he was great, and they still lost at home to a Houston team that probably shouldn't be beating them in Arrowhead. So it's almost this feeling with Mahomes now, kind of a lot like there is with Sean McVay and his Rams in the NFC, which is, guys, there's blood in the water. They've been taking over the league for a year and a half now. All of a sudden, they're playing a lot of man defense on them that they're not beating. The Chiefs don't run the ball well. So we love Pat Mahomes, and we can play his highlights all day. They're not scoring 30 to 40 points every single week. The defense isn't great. So it's like, I think they will be there in the end because they're that talented. But this is now a factor of, and again, I'll bring it back to Buffalo. That could be one of those teams that they run into in the playoffs, the Chiefs, and you don't want to go to Arrowhead. If the Chiefs finish up 10-6 and they have to come to Buffalo, it's a lot better matchup.
Yeah, one thing I asked you as well in that game at Kansas City, when Houston went into Kansas City and beat them, when are we going to be, and maybe you're not, but when are the rest of us going to be, you know, not be surprised by Deshaun Watson? I mean, the guy, all of a sudden, he's in the MVP conversation, and he looks great.
He's fantastic. You know what I think it is, Steve, is it's not even so much Deshaun Watson. We've all bought into him since Clemson. There's just something about Houston. There's a handful of teams over the last decade that are really hard to trust because they give you the fool's gold, and they look great, and they rattle off a bunch of wins, and then they let you down. The second, you know, if you're me, you go on TV and say they can't lose, and then they lose by three touchdowns. You know, this Deshaun Watson team, they lost to Kyle Allen of the Panthers, a guy who had zero experience and came in and beat them. So I think I love Deshaun as an athlete and as a quarterback, but, you know, at the same time, back in the playoffs last year, he looked terrible in that playoff loss. Big stage, Deshaun Watson, who goes up and down the field against Alabama and made the country fall in love with him, looked terrible. So this has been some great, great football from him and some clean football, but he's one of the teams that I can't trust yet. They've let me down too many times. You guys know you go on the radio and throw in with people. There's nothing worse than you say this team's going to be great, and then the guy throws four interceptions and loses. I've had that happen. I've gotten Houston before. Houston, we do have a problem, and it's often me vouching for you.
Hey, I want to ask you about another AFC team, and I've been thinking a little bit this week about Greg Roman down there in Baltimore and what he has done with Jackson, his quarterback. 152 yards on the ground in a year in which they were supposed to, I think many people thought, turn him into a passer, and yet Greg Roman's smart enough, and he spent a little time here, smart enough to know that that's a weapon that he can use as a runner too. I think that's a pretty interesting development down there in Baltimore.
Well, it's awesome to watch. I mean, it's what he's doing. It feels like the sport is changing right in front of us. Like we've never seen numbers like this, not consistently. And yet, I don't know, guys. Listen, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or it's because I'm a father of two. It just makes me very nervous. You know, I'm teaching my kid to ride his bike right now. We took the training wheels off. He falls all the time, and he tries to get up and be tough. But every time he falls, I hold my breath. And every time Lamar Jackson runs across the middle, I hold my breath because – we always get our breath taken away by these running quarterbacks and these great athletes. And then next thing you know, the trainers are coming out and they're out for 2 to 3 weeks. When I look at Lamar Jackson, I say, okay, how's Cam Newton playing this year? His foot's injured. Do you remember Michael Vick breaking his leg in the preseason game against Baltimore? I love that he runs. He should run. It would be a crime to have Lamar Jackson not run. I just hope they got a plan, because having him run it 200 times and get to the playoffs, it feels like it's not a question of if, but a matter of when he's going to go down. And I hope they have a different plan for it, because we've seen it too many times. These running quarterbacks get hurt.
Yeah, and how long can that last? I mean, Cam Newton, now you say he's been in and out of the lineup with injury. Last year he was ineffective because of an injury. Sooner or later, a quarterback, a long-term quarterback is going to be 6 years, and he's going to be done if they start running these guys like that. And then you've got – look at the other side of the coin. You got guys like – Philip Rivers and Eli Manning, those guys that never run, and they can play for almost two decades. Tom Brady as well. How do you, where's the balance there that the league is going to strike?
I don't know. It's tricky, Steve, because Lamar's an incredible passer. He looks really good. And so what can you really sit there as an offensive coach or as a Ravens fan in the stands and be like, no, Lamar, don't run. It's too dangerous. Because he's about to rip off a 38-yard run on 3rd and 12. So, of course, he's got to do it. And I remember when we had this debate with Michael Vick, he's got to stay in the pocket. He shouldn't run. I remember John Mantle was on Monday Night Football and said, what do you mean he shouldn't run? He's Michael Vick. Of course he should run. But we saw how it ended. So if Lamar's going to be the guy for the next 3 or 4 years, sure, run the wheels off. But if we're going to be talking 9, 10 years from now in the AFC North that Lamar Jackson is still the quarterback, I mean, I think Cam Newton is done in Carolina. And I mean that. It sounds profound. He couldn't win. He keeps getting hurt. Now he's got a foot injury. And sure enough, you get what every team wants, an unknown, cheap quarterback who comes in and can't miss. That happens. If Cam Newton was a pocket guy who didn't run as much, I don't think he would be hurt. I don't think we even know who Kyle Allen is. So it's the long-term danger that you worry about.
Hey, Kyle, the Tennessee Titans have a quarterback decision to make. May come as soon as today or tomorrow. And I don't know what the right answer is for Mike Vrabel down there. We have firsthand knowledge of what the issues Marcus Mariota has, but I don't know what they should do down there in Tennessee. Do you?
No, but there's, I mean, listen, you remember the last election, okay? And there were two candidates, and there's a lot of people who didn't like either candidate. They didn't like the man or they didn't like the woman. And they would develop the slogan that just said, just give me the asteroid. Let the asteroid hit the planet Earth. I don't want to vote for either of these people. It's the nuclear option when you say, listen, we just benched our franchise quarterback for Ryan Tannehill, who, God love him, is not the next Patrick Mahomes. If I'm a Tennessee Titans fan right now and Mike Vrabel is saying Tannehill or Mariota, I'm just going to say start the asteroid.
I like that.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, one last thing before the asteroid hits.
Yes.
Maybe we should also do that with the officiating controversies around the NFL.
Oh,
I mean, it's been, and I said this earlier in the show, Kyle, is there some sort of season during the football, a subseason where every year we have to have a conversation about how are we going to fix the officiating? What's going to happen? Let's get a sky judge. Let's see that. What's going to happen?
It's funny. I always refer to it as referee radio.
Right.
It's just you start talking officiating, and it's tedious as hell, and you don't love it. And yet people get really emotional about it. And the second you guys would throw out to your callers, call with your officiating takes, the phone lines will let up. They love it. There seems to be something different, right? Our whole lives we've watched football. There's always a complaint about the referees the day after the game. It happens. It seems to be going different now. And I mean that there seems to be more. It seems to be getting bigger. And I don't think just because everyone's got a Twitter account or something. I was watching this Jets-Cowboys game this last week. There was one point where 6 straight plays were flagged. 6 straight. So much so that the usually erudite and proper Jim Nance said, can we get one play without a penalty call, please? And he says this on CBS, and he was right. So, listen, I think what they're doing is they're over-officiating the hell out of it, and they don't want to be the crew or the guy who didn't make the call, because there's this idea that, well, we can review things now, and maybe there's a safety net. And yet, I'm watching the Detroit Lions get called for 2 non-penalties from the same player in the same violation. You can't review that stuff. So here's the question that I would pose. Bill Belichick has said for years, just screw it. Make every single thing reviewable. Holding, offsides, hands to the face. Everything is challengeable. Everything is reviewable. To me as a fan, that sounds tedious as hell. But this morning, if I'm a Lions fan and illegal hands to the face is reviewable, we beat the Packers last night. So maybe Belichick is smarter than the rest of us like we thought.
Yeah, but it also comes down to this. I know that I've got some vested interest in the CFL where that is the case. And what happens is the head coaches use it as a weapon, and they'll wait till deep into the third period where they give up or get a big play, and the other team will automatically challenge it and say, hey, away from the football, over here on the left, we've got eyes on the field, and they say there was a penalty, and they bring it back, and they challenge it. And that's and we lost Kyle for just a second. He's going to come back. But that's what happens, Murph.
Yeah.
You just hold it and use it as a weapon and to get – out of a big play that you've given up defensively, and you challenge it, and over here, yeah, the wide receiver pushed off, or there was offensive holding on the left tackle, and as long as the coaching staff who challenges it has eyes on it. They got an angle of it. Yeah, okay, the big play comes off the board. You go back. You take all these great plays away, and it becomes a weapon for the team that still has a challenge.
Well, and you see some of that kind of creeping in now with the NFL, how, look, coaches will play every card they have to try to get an advantage. And they use the officiating and now replay officiating when it comes to pass interference. They use that as a as a competitive thing. How can we best use this? It's not good. It's not good. And it's not even it's not even the fact that it extends games. It does. That doesn't bother me as much as how it just eliminates the human aspect of the game. Kyle coming back or not? We don't know yet. Trying to get Kyle out. All right, so we're going to say goodbye to Kyle Brandt for joining us. And he should know, and you should know, we got Referee Radio coming up on our show in an hour.
Mike
Pereira is going to join us from the NFL on Fox.
Got a lot of – I like – Mike's one of the officials I really like. There's a bunch of them out there, Dean Blandino, Mike Pereira, Mike Carey. There's a ton of guys out there that really have some great insights. It'll be fun to talk to Mike.
We thank Kyle Brandt for joining us. Sorry we lost touch with him down the stretch there. Kyle from the NFL Network and – the host of Good Morning Football. And by the way, I was going to ask him the time, but they've got Sean McDermott on their show tomorrow morning on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. We will look for that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Kyle. We got more coming up. Want to hear from you about our Twitter question today. 2 weeks from the trade deadline, did the Bills need to make a move to improve their offense? Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Coming back, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.